The scripture for this morning is from Deuteronomy in chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and the length of days, so that you will live in the land that the Lord swore to give you to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.
Let us pray together. Living and loving God, we are so grateful for this day. We are grateful for the sun that's peeking out behind the clouds, and that we appreciate the life and energy that it gives to us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your holy sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a good chance that you may go your whole life, if you went to church every single Sunday, and never hear a sermon from the book of Deuteronomy. The reason that it is because if you begin with the story of the Bible, you begin with the story of Genesis and Exodus, and you get up to the point about where the Ten Commandments are handed down, and then for a long stretch of time you have books of laws and codes and rules, and you tend to get weighted down in those stories. There's a lot of excitement in the book of Genesis and Exodus, but then you get to Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and there's all these what I call the do-nots. The do not this, do not this, do not this. There are some do this, but most of them are do not do this, do not do that. But every now and then within these stories of laws and codes and how to live together as a community, you get a section like this that's full of inspiration, of theological truth. I really enjoy the way that this verse starts off. He says, listen, today I present before you life and death, prosperity and disaster. This story is found in the middle of Moses' final words. So the story of Scripture goes that Moses was with the people in Egypt. He led them out of slavery. He crossed over the Red Sea. He went out into the desert, and he wandered around with them for 40 years or maybe longer. Moses was the one person that kept them close together. There's this ongoing cycle within the story of Scripture that the people are excited, they get enthused to go out and go and be, and then they get tired, and they get whiny, and they get complainy. I just made that word up. Complainy. They get whiny, and they shout out to God, and frequently in the book of Exodus, they say, we were better off as slaves. At least we had good food there. At least we had enough to drink there. But it is Moses who brings them back in and says, don't you remember what your life was like there? Don't you remember what God has done for you? And as the story unfolds, Moses over and over again reminds them of who they are. And here where we find ourselves, directly after this chapter 30, is when Moses says, I have seen the promised land, but I can no longer go with you. And this is Moses' farewell speech as he goes to appoint a new leader. He tells Joshua that Joshua is going to be the leader. This is Moses' final words to them. He says, I present to you life and death. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curse. I have decided to live, is essentially what he's saying. He's asking the Hebrew people to make an intentional decision to choose life and not death, to choose prosperity and not destruction. We, in some ways, tend to oversimplify this story of the covenant. But for Moses, he develops this relationship with the people. It's a covenant. It's an agreement that says, if you do this, then God will provide for you and God will be with you. We tend to paint a picture of God as this puppet master, kind of pulling the strings. If you pray hard enough, you will gain everything. If you forget the covenant and act selfishly, you will lose it all. But I don't think this is what Moses is getting at. I think there's something deeper, something more profound. He's asking people to come into a kind of spiritual reality. He says that if that practice that you have is regular and solid, that somehow anger and fear and despair will be transformed and help us to overcome the difficulties we encounter in life. Moses is never promising riches and wealth. He's promising a sense of purpose and meaning. Now, I could tell you stories all day long about how life is fleeting, about how life moves too fast. I could tell you about how the kids grow up too fast, how the years fly by too quickly, how the money in my bank account seems to disappear faster than it appears. But what I want to talk about is that Moses says, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choose life, he says. There's a great advertisement for a will product. It says the death rate is still at 100%. You should come up with a will. I think that's just exactly what is being said in this story, what Moses is trying to get at. The death rate in our country is still at 100%. You should decide to live your life. Look again at this chapter, the why. I think the Hebrew people, just like us today, were incredibly short-sighted. They were unable to see the future, to see the possibilities, to see the big picture, to see that how we live and how we give and how we love, it matters. It makes an impact. There is so much going on in our world right now, so much turmoil, so much strife, and we're quick to point the finger and say, this is the worst it's ever been, or it's never been as bad as it is today. And the truth is, that might be true, but we don't know yet. We will only really know how bad it really is 50 years down the road. But we're making these critical decisions about how we live and how we give and how we love, and it matters. It makes an impact. How we respond and how we react, it matters. It makes an impact. It lives on long before us. We sometimes are driven by our impulses, and technology certainly doesn't help this factor, that it's real quick to make a comment or make a post or to like something or dislike something and think that that is what really matters. But it's true. The story of the Bible tells us every day, I present before you a choice, life or death, prosperity or destruction. It matters. It really matters. In my office, there's this picture, and none of you can see it that far unless you have really good eyes. But if you were able to see this closer, you'd see a picture of me that looks like I'm about 12. I was really about 19. But I look incredibly young and very great. And right underneath me is this tiny little head. It's a person that I'm baptizing, and his head just barely sticks above the baptistry. This young boy was named Colin Ray. Now, Colin Ray was the first kid that I ever baptized. And I was scared. I was more scared than he was because I thought I was going to drop him. I thought I was going to drown him. I didn't know what I was going to do. And he was tiny. It was a good thing he was small because I was able to pull him back up. But I remember standing, getting ready. There was, like here, there's a little bit of a hallway behind it. And I remember Colin Ray looking up at me and he's saying, it's okay. You don't have to be nervous. What 10-year-old says to a, you know, it's okay. You don't have to be nervous. Colin Ray came from a horrible home. His father was an alcoholic. His brother was severely mentally handicapped. Colin Ray was 10 years old, but in so many ways he was 40 because he was raising himself. He's the first kid that I ever baptized, and that's why I put that picture in the frame. But the reason I keep it in my office is not that reason. The reason is because at 25, Colin Ray died in a car accident. But it's a reminder for me that our decisions, our choices, our life, what we say yes to, what we say no to, make an impact, make a difference. We have to live beyond our short-sightedness to see that our impact, our choices, our decisions, our sacrifices can make a difference on our communities, our families. And this is the true nature of the covenant with God, is to see that our being fully present in this moment allows us to seize those opportunities to make a difference, to make a change in someone's life, to create a future for our children and their children, to create a better world. The story today says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might truly live." Amen. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for this gift, this story, this scripture that reminds us that we're all in it together. That just like the Hebrew people, sometimes we can get caught in this difficult place where all we do is complain. All we do is whine about how we don't have enough or how it was better back when. But the scripture today reminds us to choose life over and over again, to wake up each and every morning and say, "Today I have another beautiful 24 hours to live." In your many names we pray, we gather, and we seek to live. Amen.